Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder welcoming you to another day of fun.
I feel rusty.
Yeah, you and I have not worked together in quite a while. It's been a little while.
5 days.
Yeah, that's a little while.
I guess.
That's a little while. I thought we would talk about Ross Perot, the loss of Ross Perot this morning.
Wow.
But then I find out that you have been involved in another situation where you've helped the local police solve a crime.
This one is a little different. I helped a community member. It's a little different. Let me backtrack a little. It seems like whenever there's some kind of parade or some kind of event going on in my hometown of LaGrange, a pet parade 2 years ago, I saw a suspicious backpack that had wires sticking out of it, and I told the police, and they looked into it after they kind of, there was a visiting police officer who said, well, there was a survey crew out there earlier, and I said, well, maybe you should just look at it.
If you see something, say something.
Yeah, and I never have a problem saying anything.
You say a lot. Right.
And then later that day, I saw a dog sitting in a car.
Yeah.
Yes, the window was cracked, but it was super hot. So I told some other police officers, and they said, oh, we're monitoring it. We saw the woman walk in the store. We're going to keep an eye on things.
Right. But just to establish, your beat is the parade beat. That's,
yes.
You like that. That's the time of year that you blossom.
Well, because there are a lot of people and, you know, the melee that happened at Navy Pier, you can never be too safe.
The potential
if only you'd been there.
I was thinking that, Steve.
You would have solved it. You would have taken care of it before it happened. But it just shows that you're always at the ready.
Well, you have to be vigilant. That's what they tell us.
That's true.
I had to look up what vigilant meant, and now that's all I am.
Now you're being it. Yep. So what happened?
All right. So I was at a deli counter, which I like to be at because it's just fun. I like my meat sliced very, very thin.
Sure.
They, you know, hold up an example. Is this thin enough? Nope. Needing my salami so you can see through it.
Yeah.
So I am there at the deli counter, and there is a woman next to me who wanted a big tub of little mini fresh mozzarella balls.
Seems the thing to do, yeah.
She wanted 5 pounds. She was making a big salad.
Oh.
So the guy behind the counter took this, if you want 5 pounds, I'm just going to give you the 5 pound container.
Uh-huh.
So the guy's weighing it, and there looks to be some confusion. And I'm just waiting to order my salami.
You're off
salami.
Duty at
yes.
this point.
I'm just standing
you're
there.
You're not expecting anything, but if something happens, you're ready.
And I was going to say I was standing there minding my own business, but you know that's not possible.
Right.
So
keep the story credible.
I will.
All right.
So the young kid who was weighing this tub of mozzarella balls, he looked confused, so he came up to the woman and he said, I got to be honest with you, the actual container is 5 pounds, but there's only 3 pounds worth of little mini mozzarella balls.
The container weighs a couple pounds.
There's some liquid in there that's about 2 pounds of liquid.
Well, sure, the little balls float in the water.
Right, and you don't want them to get dried out.
Nope.
So the guy says to the woman, do you want me to dump out some of this liquid?
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't sure. She's like, well, I don't know. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
I looked and saw it was $6.99 a pound.
Yeah.
So I said, excuse me.
Oh, no.
Here it comes. Steve, do you have your seatbelt on?
Do you have your badge out at this point?
No, this is why Jimmy Mac will not go to the grocery store anywhere with me, really.
Right.
So I said, excuse me, it's $6.99 a pound.
I'm Wendy Snyder,
noted mozzarella
ball specialist.
Fresh mozzarella.
Of course. You didn't even have to say that. We know.
Fresh. So I said, excuse me, but that's 2 pounds of water.
Yeah.
I said, it's $6.99 a pound. You're paying $13 for water. And she just kind of stood there and looked at me, and she goes, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
Could you dump the water? And she said, thank you so much.
That was like a pepperoni drop moment for you. Just drop the pepperoni, walk away.
Right. I've done my good deed.
Well, I mean, I understand you're put in that predicament.
Is there an American flag flying behind you with a ripple in the flag? That's what I'm picturing.
In my mind, maybe.
Yeah.
So she said, thank you so much. And I said, well, I couldn't stand idly by and let you pay $13 for water that you're just going to dump down the drain when you get home.
Did she give you a tip?
No, but then she goes, are you Wendy?
Oh.
And I said, I don't think so. I didn't want to. And she said, I listen every day. I love you and Bill. Don't like Bertrand so much. And I said, no, she didn't say that. But she listens every day. Her name is Terry. And she thanked me. And I said, I know I really shouldn't be butting into anybody else's business.
Right.
And I said, it was really great of the deli guy to say this to you.
Right.
And then as we're talking, I said, when will you be serving this? And she said, well, I'm making a caprese salad.
Oh.
I said, are you doing it tonight? And she said, no. And I said, then have them pour some of that water back in or your balls will dry out. And she said, thank you so much.
Wow.
And then I ran into her again in another aisle and she thanked me again and said, I said, can I mention you on the air?
Right.
And she said, absolutely.
Now, when
she invite you over?
No, I wish she would have.
When she was checking out, did you tell her which line to get into?
Yeah.
No, because I always pick the wrong one. Every single time. But so I did my good deed. It
Boy,
was
you did.
A
sure
community
you did.
Watch.
Yes.
And Terry benefited from it.
You saved her money.
And the police are greatly relieved that they weren't involved
right.
this
yes.
time.
Right.
I'm just here to help people. I can't stay out of people's businesses.
Sure. But I think I have to say I'm siding with you on this. You did the quick math. You realized here's
and
a way to
save. And you know
that's
impossible for me.
Well, it ended up being accurate.
Yeah.
But you see, here's the thing. It doesn't stop. Like, you saved her, and then you're like, so when are you serving this?
Because I will talk to anyone who will listen to me.
I picture as she's thanking you, you say, no time for thanks. I'm needed in the notions department. And then you just you pretend to fly away.
Terry goes home to her husband. She goes, man, I got a whole show today.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we thank her for listening.
Yes.
And, that, you know, if I can give back to one person each and every day, then I am making a difference.
Boy, you sure you can keep one mozzarella ball from drying out.
You need to get a part-time job there. You'd help so many people.
You could be like the deli ombudsman.
Yeah.
Or in produce. You'd be good in produce.
Oh, you'd be fantastic in
produce. I have a little bit of a problem in produce. I go through every nectarine to make sure there's a little give, but not too much.
A little squeezing and pinching?
I'm a little OCD. Like, to pick out 12 limes for a dollar, I'm there for an
hour. The weekend shot.
No.
Where did the weekend go?
You got to go shiny with the skin, because then there's more juice.
Right.
I'm there for an hour. I can't be in the produce department.
They should just set up a small booth for you. Just like, you know how Lucy had that little booth?
Oh, yeah.
Peanuts? You should have a booth like that. People come up, they throw an idea your way, a question, you help them out.
Would you advise the provolone today, or how is the Swiss tasting?
You get a lot of that.
Go baby Swiss. It's more mild.
Yes, it is. All right, a little break and then more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I also went to see some rock and roll shows over the weekend.
Shows plural?
Yes.
What'd you see?
I went to the last Naperville Rib Fest at Knock Park. They're going to be moving locations to Romeoville.
Will they still call it Naperville Fest?
Yes.
They will? That's false advertising.
They're rebuilding. They're making a water park and doing a lot of things at Knock Park, so they won't have room for it. So I went to see Bad Company.
Bad Company. How were they? Were they good?
Pretty amazing. Three out of the four original members.
Yeah.
And
that's rare for a group that's been around this long.
Paul Rogers, one of the best voices in rock and roll years ago.
What's the hit that Bad Company had that most people would recognize?
Bad Company.
Their song is the same as their name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel Like Making Love.
Oh, yeah.
Shooting Star, one of my favorite songs. Don't you know that you are a shooting star?
I don't think I know that song.
I used to play all these at the Loop when I worked overnight.
Wasn't it a silver album? Remember the Bad Company album?
Yes, I think so. I don't know which one it was on, but they just had BADCO.
Yeah. I know the logo real well. I've seen the logo.
Yeah.
I see it on mirrors at county fairs a lot.
And in our basement.
It was one of my Columbia Record Club purchases.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could buy mirrors for your penny.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
They were fantastic. Paul Rogers, I love his voice. He may, you know, have not been able to hit the high notes as great as before, but still pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Mick Ralphs is still in the band, and Simon Kirk on drums. So three out of the four.
Mick Ralph. I always think if you're
plural.
Plural. There's more than one Ralph. I always think if you're serious about putting together a band, you got to get a guy named Mick in the band, don't you? It just makes sense. Even if they can't even play an instrument, just to have a guy named Mick sitting there with the band, you go, they got to be pretty good. They got a guy named Mick in there.
That is a rock and roll band
name.
But they were fantastic, very crowded, although I was a little disappointed at the audience participation. No one around me was singing when Paul Rodgers put the microphone out.
But I bet you did.
So loudly, and I was looking around going, come on, people!
Oh, no.
I mean, they were up in front.
They may ask you to join them. You might be touring this time next year.
I was going to go up there and help them with some some vocals. But really, honestly, just brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah,
of high school, it was really good.
They've been performing for how long? They've been around
50 some years.
Yeah. Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
Three out of the four original guys. That's strange.
Yep.
And the other guy, I believe,
died.
Yeah,
so he couldn't play bass anymore.
No.
So they
got
a new
bass
player
somewhere. And then last night you saw a pretty
good went
show.
To City Winery, which I have to say I just love going to. They have their own wine. They make it there. Really good, great food. And John Sebastian was there from the Love and Spoonful, from Welcome Back Cotter. And I have to tell you what an amazing night that was.
Yeah, I would imagine. He's very good. He's very talented.
But again, you know, he's older.
Mm-hmm.
He played a lot of songs, but it was really, there were a lot of stories encapsulated in this little show. So he'd talk about things and then he'd play the song.
Was his story about the song or was it separate?
It was about the song, or it was about, you know, he grew up in New York and he said how he got the call to come up with Welcome Back Cotter. He was shown this Gabe Kaplan guy all of a sudden is going to do a show. And they said, watch this pilot and come up with a song. And that was like a number one hit for him,
Big
Welcome
hit.
Back Cotter.
Great song. One of the best theme songs ever.
Did you ever have to make up your mind? A lot of Love and Spoonful songs. And just, he regaled us with stories.
Oh.
And it was really a fine evening.
Did people in the back go, just tell us the hits? Because they always want him to sing the hits. I wonder what his stories are like. I've heard this story before. I want to hear the classic stories.
Well, he was somebody's phone rang as he was talking. And I have to be honest with you. I'm all for what he did. He's like, I sure hope that's important. And then he came back a little bit later after a song. No break, but I mean, he kind of focused on these people with the phones again. And he goes, thank you so much, sir, for putting your phone down, because I got to be honest with you, when I'm up here doing this and you guys are looking on your phone, it just makes me feel not good.
Wow, good for him. Very honest.
And then, of course, there's a little bit of silence, and he was talking about songs, and, of course, someone yelled out Freebird.
Wow, people still do that?
And everybody laughed, and then John Sebastian said, oh, good to know this is your first night drinking.
Kind of
sounds to me like he was a little testy.
Yeah. He wasn't at all. He honestly wasn't. But it's got to be so different playing an intimate setting like the City Winery these days with people on their phone.
Yeah, very upsetting.
I mean, if you're in a big concert hall, obviously you're not noticing that.
Well, how about in the old days? Like, you couldn't record somebody performing because you had a lot of equipment you'd have to set up to record that person. But now, if you turn on YouTube, anyone who does a show anywhere is being recorded and it's being shown somewhere.
Yeah.
So
they've given up on that, I think.
They have totally given up on that.
You used to not be able to bring a camera, and now you can't not have a camera.
When I was doing stand-up in clubs, every once in a while you'd see the doorman walk over to somebody who was taking notes during a show. They were essentially stealing material.
Is that what
they
were
writing
doing?
Yeah. But now you see people just recording the shows, you know, the whole show with their phone.
Well, a lot of people don't mind that because then they post it and it's, you know.
It's publicity.
Yeah.
Right.
But the just looking at your phone thing, that would drive me nuts if I looked out and did that.
Yeah, but by the same note, though, that person looking at his phone is paying them to sing. And if he wants to check an email or send a text, I mean,
he has the right.
I think
if you're the performer, don't you say, wow, I thought this was going to be a special evening and apparently it's not that special. Don't you feel a little bit of that, Steve?
I don't know. I mean, I just think I understand. I mean, I think I would not do it, but
yeah.
I don't know. He's being paid to sing there by that guy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the videos? There's a bunch of videos of actors doing plays where somebody's phone goes off,
yeah,
and they all handle it differently. you know?
I mean, I say you probably should ignore it in this day and age, but sometimes
it takes
it's
you out of
hard.
The moment.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a phone ringing is something different.
Right.
You know, you should definitely silence your phone, but
right.
If I pick up my phone to check the weather or something while he's singing Welcome Back, Cotter.
No, he was talking.
Be called out.
He was talking at this point. So imagine you're up at a podium giving a, you know, college speech or something, Bertrand, and you see like everybody in the front row just kind of scrolling through Facebook. Wouldn't that bother you?
It'd be disheartening.
Yeah, no, Wendy, it would bother me. I wouldn't like it, but I'm just saying that I also think that
you have
it's
the
not
right.
criminal for them to do
right,
it.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
But see, the guy got called out, and then he put the phone down the next time he talked. So
yeah, it worked.
It was win-win.
It was successful.
And then Renee and Pam were a couple of listeners who listened to us every night, every day. And we were waiting in line to get Michael brought some albums that he wanted signed. And John
by
said,
Renee and Pam?
Yes.
That's odd.
But Renee went to Woodstock, so we were talking to her. She was showing us pictures of her and Noel Redding from Jimi Hendrix Band, and her and one of the Yardbirds. It was super cool. She had them in her wallet laminated, because I would, too, if I was at Woodstock and hung with some of the cool guys.
I would think. All right, it is, it's Tech Tuesday, as it turns out. We'll talk to somebody from CNET. Eric Zorn, who's usually heard on Mondays, will be making a special appearance. He has something to tell you. Stick around. A lot ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, I hurt somebody's feelings. I don't know.
How many times today?
No, it was yesterday. You were out there doing good deeds, helping people with their mozzarella balls, and all I'm doing is hurting people that I love.
What did you do, Bill?
On my way in yesterday, we didn't do. You and I didn't do a show yesterday. We still came into work. We had a meeting.
We had a staff
a
meeting,
staff
a
meeting.
Workshop.
Yeah,
it was very weird to come here and not be on the air,
wasn't it? It was very strange.
And it was weird not knowing what the meeting entailed, because I was wondering, is this a one-way bus trip?
Right.
I didn't know.
Jim Jones was speaking at the meeting. This isn't going good. Can I have more Kool-Aid, please?
I love Kool-Aid.
You bring more Kool-Aid to our table?
I'm a grape girl. What color do you prefer?
I like the blue raspberry. It's so good. But thanks to John and G and Shed and Aquarium for filling in for us yesterday. All right. So as I'm driving in yesterday...
Yes.
I'm listening to Steve Cochran's show, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I hear Dave Ennett doing the sports, and he's talking about what's going on at Wimbledon.
Yes.
And he talks about the surprise victory of Allison Risky, the American tennis player. And that's not her name. Her name is Allison Risk. But he said Risky a couple times. So when I came in, I said, Dave, you know I'm the last person to do this, and you're Dave. So why would anyone do this to you? But it's pronounced Risk. It's not pronounced Risky. And he looked like he was going to cry.
How could you do that to Dave Ennett, of all people?
The only reason I did it, and you're right to say that, of all people is absolutely right. The only reason I did it is because I knew that was going to be a big story in sports the rest of the day. And I didn't want anyone to hear him and say, oh, how could he not know? It's spelled R-I-S-K-E, but it's just pronounced Risk.
Why didn't you text him the minute he did it? Why'd you wait?
I was driving. I didn't want to...
Pull over.
I could have pulled over.
Instead, you let him say it all morning.
No, he only... I think only said it the one... It was the only time I heard him do it during the sports. But then, like all day, people kept saying, what's wrong with Dave? He seems sad.
He did have a somber look.
He looked very somber throughout the day. But don't you think, like, I've mispronounced. I do it, I think, every day. I don't think I've had a day where I haven't mispronounced something. And if somebody doesn't tell me, then I'll continue to mispronounce
That's
it.
Why we don't tell you.
You shouldn't tell me. I'm not good with being told.
I remember when Bertrand said foliage.
Yes.
And a listener texted.
Yes.
12 seconds, I think it was. 12 seconds.
but I thought, because you know, Dave and I were friends. I don't know if we are anymore.
He seemed even sad this morning.
Today he did. The second day in a row, he seemed very
sad. He left
sad.
His headphones on when we walked in the studio. I wanted to talk to him, and he was just tuning us out. I guess it was you, not me.
It was me.
I'm guilt by association.
I hope that you don't get the brunt of any blame, because you probably would have, if I had talked to you about it and said, Dave mispronounced the name, you would have said, well, let it go. But then it hurts his credibility.
Yeah, but he's got way more credibility than you.
Way more. way more on his worst day. I know that.
Well, now I feel bad for him.
You can feel bad for me.
No.
No? All right.
You're the mean one.
Mr. Leff.
So if let's say, hypothetically, you were driving in and you heard somebody in the news and traffic and weather and sports mispronounce something that you know is pronounced a certain way. And I even said, I could be wrong on this, and I knew I wasn't. But I said, there's a possibility. Yes. I could be wrong, but when I hear her name, it's always said one way. Wouldn't you feel it was your obligation to that person, the news person, the weather, the sports, the traffic, the business, somebody in the business? Wouldn't you say, Orion? I know it was said this way, but it's really said this way.
I would never correct Orion.
You would not. Anyone else, though?
I wouldn't correct Dave Ennett either. Everyone else, I would.
I shouldn't have. I made a mistake. I should have called the girl, Allison Risk, and said, from now on, could you please pronounce it Risky? It would be better for Dave and for the world.
I'm assuming it's R-I-S-K-E.
That's how it's spelled. Yeah. So it's a mistake that anyone could make, and it's not a name that's she's an up-and-coming tennis star, but to the casual fan, you wouldn't know.
I don't think anyone should be mad at you because you were doing it as a friend. You were doing it from your heart.
I thought I was.
But it's still...
But I didn't want to see...
But Dave Ennett.
Dave looked
the nicest guy ever.
Bleary-eyed ever since. He looks like he may... If he hasn't already cried, he looks like he may.
I'm sure he already has.
I bet he has already yesterday.
Tears on his pillowcase.
I know.
Is my pillow.
All right, we will take a quick break. We'll come back. It's Tech Tuesday, so we'll talk tech. At some point, we will talk about the loss of Ross Perot. He died this morning, we just found out. So that'll come up. And then there's other stuff, too. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I'm saving my popsicle sticks for you.
Now, have you been in contact with the police there? Will you be patrolling,
you have to,
Wendy. Do you think?
Let them know that you're on the ready.
All right, I can't hear either of you. I don't know what's going on right now. But that's, it's a right. Tech Tuesday, and we have a senior reporter for CNET News in Manhattan. You also report on Amazon e-commerce and mobile payments. Ben Fox Rubin is with us. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, we've been doing a Tech Tuesday for quite some time. Bridget Carey is typically our correspondent, and she just had a baby. And then Ashley Escada was filling in for her, and she just had a baby.
So get ready, Ben.
Yes, I assure you I will not be having a baby.
All right, we'll see.
Well, then we'll be talking to you for a while. All right, so Amazon Prime Day, there's a concert going on. Explain.
Yes. They got Taylor Swift this year. Very exciting. And that's going to be going on Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Now, that's a
big score. Well, go ahead.
That's a big score. Taylor Swift.
How can Amazon afford Taylor Swift? They're going to go bankrupt.
Amazon's only the world's biggest e-commerce company and the nearly trillion-dollar organization. But somehow, they managed to land Taylor Swift.
Wow.
I have no idea. They had Ariana Grande last year. And their big push with Prime Day is that they want to kind of make it more of an experience, not just like kind of a big shopping holiday, deals, deals, deals. They want to get people to feel really good and excited about being Prime members. So they're trying to do all these additional little add-ons like this Taylor Swift concert. And, you know, hey, the whole point is to keep you as a Prime member and get you to keep paying that $120 a year because, big surprise, once you pay that money, you are twice as likely to shop on Amazon afterwards. So they get a lot of benefit out of getting you to buy Prime memberships.
And we as Prime members get a lot of benefits too, because a lot of times it's next day shipping and you don't have to pay for it. So it is pretty great if you use Amazon a lot.
And hey, you know, if you're already paying that money, now you're going to get a free Taylor Swift concert that you'll be able to stream. And, you know, hey, what's wrong with that? I'm not a Swifty, if that's what it's called.
So
I'm probably not going to watch this, but you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be into it.
But who is going to just sit there and watch it on their computer? I mean, it's not like you got tickets to a show or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm old, but it just seems like
I think they do that.
Yeah, people will do this.
It's Didn't a big Madonna show? Do that a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Where it was on HBO or something.
Yep.
Yeah, people will watch a live concert and, I don't know, tweet about it or something. Isn't that what people do these days? I'm
That'd
not
be
sure.
Big. It's not just Taylor Swift, by the way, Ben. It's Dua Lipa will be there. SZA.
SZA.
Or is it half of Zsa? Is half of Zsa going to be there? And then the host is Jane Lynch.
Honestly?
Yeah.
I don't know what half of those names are. I am so old now.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's great.
Well, it's a star-studded lineup.
Finally, we're talking to someone.
I just found out who Cardi B is. She was in a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I think you're a great fit with us.
If I'm never invited back, I understand.
No, we're in tune with you. We just found out who the Lennon sisters were 20 minutes ago.
Oh, nice. I'm not even up to that one.
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
You're right in between hip and us. I think that's what it is. All right, some Apple news. The 12-inch MacBook is going bye-bye, right?
Yes, yeah. They killed off the 12-inch MacBook, and they also killed off the old version of the MacBook Air. The reason people should care about this is that those are two of the cheapest MacBooks that used to exist. And now Apple's no longer going to sell them. The way that you get an Apple MacBook these days is you pay even more money, which unfortunately Apple has been getting rid of their budget versions for the past couple of years now. They had a very small iPhone SE for a couple of years, and they got rid of that too. So they just decided they want to do more luxury tech, if you want to call it that, and they don't really want to have people buy stuff that's a little bit more affordable. And honestly, that old MacBook Air was $1,000, so it wasn't really quote unquote cheap
right.
for most people. But yeah, it's I think it's too bad.
Don't you feel that I guess Apple doesn't need my advice? They're doing okay, but you would think that they would run the gamut of price points and continue doing that, because like I like Apple stuff, but I'm not an Apple geek where I'm going to go get a new thing every year. So I think it would be nice to have some that are more affordable. I'm kind of surprised they're doing this.
I agree with you, and I think it's really unfortunate for customers. And if anything, their prices on a lot of their products have been slowly creeping up. So the iPhone, for instance, a couple of years ago used to start at $650. Now it starts a lot closer to $1,000. And the most expensive ones are well above $1,000. And for whatever reason, people keep buying them, partly because of those two-year plans. You spend a little bit of money down, and then you keep paying for it over 2 years. It kind of hides the cost, and it allows Apple to just keep charging people more money.
Ben, I saw an article today, and to be honest with you, I just skimmed through it. I didn't have time to read the whole thing, but it talks about the death of iTunes. I'm on iTunes. I've got a bunch of songs on iTunes. Will I still be able to listen to those, or will that just all fade away?
I think you're going to be fine. This was something that I unfortunately don't know a ton about, this whole iTunes situation, but they're just making a couple changes. They're adding a few more apps, but you should not worry about your iTunes library or any of the music that you've downloaded or that you've paid for. That's not going to go away, and they're not going to do away with that. That would upset so many customers, millions of customers that still have music libraries. So, you know, the labeling might change a bit, or your stuff might go in a slightly different folder, but ultimately it's not going to be nearly as huge a change as that.
Okay.
It'll like migrate to a new platform kind of thing, right?
Oh, all right.
You'll be okay.
All right.
You'll be okay.
All right.
All right. Let's talk lunar stuff for a minute. The moon landing 50 years ago. What do you have for us on that?
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up July 20th. And to me, probably the most exciting thing about this is that we're going back to the moon. And not only is NASA planning on going back to the moon, but Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin, that's a private company, they're planning on sending people to the moon. Elon Musk, SpaceX, is hoping to send people to the moon. So it's not like regular folks are going to be able to go to the moon anytime soon, but extremely rich people might be able to, which is at least an interesting entry point to the possibility of, I don't know, someday having regular space tourism for middle class people. I don't think that's happening quite yet, but it'll start with the super rich and then maybe go from there.
All right. I want to ask both of you something. We're talking to Ben Fox Rubin from CNET News. If you guys had all the money in the world, you too, Bill, would you go to the moon?
Ben, you go first.
I would go.
Yeah.
I would definitely go. Yeah, it was funny. I was talking to my kids last night, and you know, it was kind of getting dark, and they pointed at the moon and they said, "Hey, look, there's the moon. Check that out." And I have twins that are 3 years old, and I said, "You know, guys, you might go to the moon one day." And they were both pretty like meh about it. They were like, "We don't
really
feel it. You know, we'd rather just hang out in the backyard." I don't think they really got it. They were like, no big deal.
Wow.
For me, I think it would be really cool. I wouldn't want to go to Mars. I feel like that's way too far away. But
yeah.
I'd be pretty into going to the moon for, I don't know, a weekend or something. There's not much to do there.
What do you do there?
Honestly.
Yeah.
There's not much going on there.
Like, no, exactly. But I think it would be pretty interesting. And, these private companies are really pushing this idea that they think space tourism is going to be a really big thing. And they're hoping to make millions of dollars off of it. So I think if somebody has the money and they want to spend it on something like that, then more power to them, I guess. And, you know, these companies are definitely hoping to provide that as a service to them.
I'd only go to see the MTV flag. Only reason I want to go there.
That's a big tourist attraction.
All right. And finally here, we have a minute left, but I find this to be very important because I can't tell you how many robocalls I get on a given day. How can we fight back?
Yeah, there's this new app. It's starting on the iPhone, but then it's going to be coming eventually to Android, called Firewall. Basically, it will not let a call come through unless it's already whitelisted in your contacts list. Otherwise, they're just going to block it. And so it almost works as a firewall, as the name denotes, for your computer or any of your other servers. So, and the other cool thing about this is that they provide you fake phone numbers when you're making outgoing calls too, so that people will not get your real number if you are making calls. So it's if people are really, really annoyed with spam, they could do this, but they do charge you. I think it's $4 a month, so it's not like it's a free service, but they do offer a lot for that $4 a month, I would think.
Can I ask a question about that then? So if they're altering the numbers when you call out, your number, so people don't know it's you, doesn't that mean you would then be blocked from your friends?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yes.
I guess if they're using Firewall, then the answer could be yes.
Or, Steve, so, if you're calling me from your daughter's phone, I wouldn't have you in a contact, so it wouldn't go through.
Yeah.
I think at this point, it's such a new app that very few people are using it. You're not really... That's not a concern quite yet, but that's a great question. Boy, would that be annoying if you're spending money on this service and then it's blocking your calls to your kids and your mom. So, that's a good point.
This is going to put the Jerky Boys out of business.
They're already out of
business. All right.
And my phone carrier has started to put a fraud alert or a spam alert when I get an incoming call, but I noticed it isn't happening on all of them. Remember last week on the air, it said political call, so I knew not to get it. But that's different carriers are going to start doing that as well.
Yes, yeah, and that's really a first step. If you want to go a lot further, you would pay for this firewall service. But I don't know about you two, but I get a lot more spam calls than I used to.
Yeah, it's terrible.
This is certainly something that the government is paying attention to. The FTC is trying to crack down on it. So this is if you want to go as far as you can go, you get this firewall app. But again, it's a paid service, so it's not free. So I can't recommend it from that perspective.
No, but just be aware of it.
The government gets a hold off on this too.
Perfect. Ben Fox Rubin, we thank you so much for participating in Tech Tuesday today. You can find him on Twitter at Ben Fox Rubin or CNET.com.
Thanks
so much.
Ben.
Thank you.
Take care. Ben Fox Rubin from CNET. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio.
Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
He's Zorn.
He is Zorn. Normally, on Monday, Eric Zorn comes up and we talk about whatever we feel like talking about with Eric Zorn. Yesterday, you and I couldn't do the show. We had a big meeting. So Eric Zorn said, but I've got things to talk about. You got to let me on. I got to be heard. Eric, how are you?
I'm here, and I'm as desperate as ever to have things to talk about.
Yes, absolutely. Now, we do a monthly segment with you where you read the best tweets of the month, and we didn't want listeners to go without those tweets, so you've been kind enough to come on today and share with us the best tweets of June of 2019.
These are the best tweets. Yeah, last week was a holiday week, and I thought that it just wouldn't be fair to people and during a holiday week to put such a treasured feature on during a holiday week. So we postponed it till today, and I think that's fair. Yeah, these are the top 10 tweets of June 2019. As you know, I do this contest every week online where I ask readers to pick their favorite tweets. I curate them and then ask them to vote. And then I take all the finalists and I say, well, I'm going to choose my favorites because sometimes readers have like terrible taste. Even my readers. No, I'm not. But these are my favorite tweets from the month of June, and I'm going to just read them, and then they're online, and Jasmine will link to them and where the attributions are.
All right, that's
so
fair.
Okay. Here we go. First one is: I hate to break this to you, but if you just bang on the drum all day, eventually, it will start to feel like work.
That's very funny.
That's good. Did Todd Rundgren submit that?
No, that was from Melvin of York.
Oh, it was?
I don't know who Melvin is, but
that was great.
Fox News has done to our parents what our parents thought video games would do to us.
Very funny.
Here's a short one. His last words were, quote, "You seem upset."
I don't know if I get that.
It's subtle.
So can you explain it to us?
Too subtle to explain.
Oh, okay. Your first day in prison, go up to the biggest guy there and do not admit that you got caught by a cowardly talking dog and a group of kids who say jinkies.
I love a thinly veiled Scooby-Doo reference.
No, it's not even very thinly veiled, but very true. You know, you can imagine what would have happened to those bad guys when they went to prison.
Sure,
and they found out that they would be caught by the Scooby-Doo gang. This next quote is in the voice of my mom as a 911 operator. Well, that wasn't very smart, now was it?
That's good.
I like that. This one. I disagree with Jessica Biel about vaccinations, but she still remains my number one source for all other medical information. Eating Triscuits always feels like I'm chewing very small wicker lawn furniture while a family of dolls in beach outfits stares at me in horror.
That one's more true than it is funny.
Yes.
That one's 100% accurate.
And I had a Triscuit yesterday, and
so
that
you
is,
know,
yeah,
it's wickery.
It's wickery.
Yep. Still tasty.
Yep.
Let's face it, we've all lied or cheated or held a bank manager hostage. It doesn't make us bad people.
Good.
The chicken crossed the road for the same reason everyone else does, to avoid running into someone it knew.
Good.
Okay. All right. And the last one is, when I run into an old friend and I have no idea what they've been up to, I just say, I love your podcast.
Oh.
I haven't been wrong yet.
Very good. All right, let's go back to the one that caused Wendy some concern. You got it now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
You can repeat it, though.
His last words were, quote, "You seem upset."
You're right.
And so this indicates that the person who seemed upset was so upset that he killed that person.
Right, I got it. It just took me a minute.
Yes.
Some of these were digestible.
Yes.
I needed a second to let them sink in.
So true.
And generally, that's in a domestic context, I would say.
I would imagine.
That's a very bad line to use in an argument with your partner.
So. Yep. Eric, our plan was at some point today to talk about Ross Perot, who died earlier today. We got word that Ross Perot had died. Anything you'd like to say about him?
No, one of the things that's interesting about that whole story is that you know, the conventional wisdom is that he won the 1992 election for Bill Clinton by taking away a bunch of votes from Bush. Bush Senior, not the elder Bush.
Yeah.
But then I've read some alternative histories where they talk about the fact when you polled Perot voters, that a lot of them were actually Democrats. That these were people that he really had this strange bipartisan appeal, and that it's not at all clear that if he hadn't been in the race, that Clinton would have lost. That's the only thing that when I think of Perot, obviously I think of those debates and his populist appeal. And in some ways, it does seem like maybe he presaged the arrival of Donald Trump, because he was clearly not qualified to be president. He was this kind of loose cannon who spoke, you know, quote unquote truths, and really was zigging when everyone else was zagging, and was a promised to be a really disruptive force. And so when you have someone like that, that appealed to, I think, what did he get end up getting, 19% of the vote?
Yeah, he did pretty well.
But I think that really was, he was Trump before Trump was Trump. He didn't quite have the political skills, and he seemed kind of deranged in some ways that maybe didn't work for him. But also, I think, going outside of conventional parties, he ran as an independent candidate, or he had his own party, right? I can't remember, was it? If he had stayed in one of the parties, he could have been Trump before Trump was Trump, because he has that kind of, that populist appeal, that I'm going to break everything, and everything is bad, all these politicians are terrible, and I know how to fix things. He had that sort of appeal. So a really interesting character.
Do you remember, whenever I think about him, I think about this feud he had with John McCain, and I don't know the origins of it, but I know from time to time he would take a shot at John McCain, and from time to time John McCain would take a shot at him, but I don't know where that stemmed from. Do you?
I don't, but I do remember that there was something very strange during that election season where he dropped out of the race for a while because it was something to do with his daughter's wedding, and he was saying that people were after him, and he's had this sort of paranoid streak to him. And I can't remember if that was related to the McCain feud or what, but certainly McCain had the ability to get under people's skin.
Yeah,
clearly, because he and, you know, Trump still speaks ill of him.
Yeah,
it's very strange. He's been dead for more than a year, and Trump still trashes him.
Yeah,
so I don't know, but really, a very interesting guy. And
In honor of H. Ross Perot, I will be making some charts and graphs today memorialize him.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
And I will be making a giant sucking sound.
I'm nicer than you, Eric.
Just a little nicer. Eric, thank you for spending time with us. We look forward to seeing you again on Monday.
We'll see you on Monday. Thanks, guys.
That's Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. That's who that is. We'll take a break and then more show.
Someone has texted us, Bill, saying, "I don't mean to be rude." Which usually when you start by saying
there's
that,
there's going to be some rudeness coming.
It's not that bad, though. It says, but I'm not sure who really knows who Ross... excuse me, let me start again. Text 708. Sorry, not trying to be rude, but I'm not sure who really knows who Ross Perot is or cares. I believe he was pretty old and lived a very long, eventful life. How about we talk about the young and upcoming Disney star that passed away?
Steve Bertrand came into our office this morning. It had not been announced yet that Ross Perot had passed away, but Steve said it looks pretty grim. We're getting indications that that's the story, and we're following up to see if that's the case. Jasmine was in the office, our producer, and Steve said to Jasmine, "I bet you don't know who Ross Perot is," and through no fault of her own,
right,
she was born after he was prominent.
Yeah.
She did not know who he was. If you live through his segment of history, he was a very important part of the American election process, but if you didn't, he's one of those names that I have to say is probably lost with time.
Yeah, but I mean, as Eric was saying, he was the original guy who was going to shake up the government.
Yes.
He was a businessman.
Yes.
Really,
very successful businessman.
Yes. And much like Donald Trump, you know, people would be like, well, if he can run a business.
Finally, a guy who's not a politician. This would be great.
There was some excitement about that back with H. Ross Perot and
no
with
question.
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So if you didn't know who he was, I don't know, maybe look it up. I couldn't remember why he and John McCain were at each other's throats.
I couldn't
throats.
Remember either. I just knew from time to time one of them would take some sort of verbal shot at the other.
Well, this according to datalounge.com, McCain called Perot nuttier than a fruitcake.
Okay.
Which he kind of seemed like it. And then I guess this all goes back to McCain's 5.5 years of captivity in Hanoi. So
I want to make sure I'm getting this right. Who called who nuttier than
McCain
a fruitcake?
McCain called Perot nuttier than a fruitcake.
So at what point, because Perot was a very, very wealthy man, like at what point are you able to not be called nuttier than a fruitcake? Does money even enter into that equation? Don't you go, how could I be nuttier than a fruitcake and have amassed this sort of fortune through my business empire?
Carrot Top.
Point we'll take.
Right. Boy, that shut you up.
Carrot Top's a good example.
You can still have a lot of money and be nuttier than a fruitcake.
I guess.
So according to datalounge.com, the Perot-McCain relationship goes back to McCain's 5.5 years of captivity in Hanoi, when McCain's then wife Carol was in a serious car accident. McCain's mother called Perot for help. She asked me to send my people to Philadelphia to take care of the family, Perot says. Afterwards, McCain was grateful. We loved him for it, McCain told me in 2000. Perot doesn't remember it that way. This is what Perot says. After he came home, he walked with a limp. Carol McCain walked with a limp, so he threw her over for a poster girl with big money from Arizona, and the rest is history. Yes. Yeah. Perot's real problem with McCain is that he believes the senator hushed up evidence that live POWs were left behind in Vietnam and even transferred to the Soviet Union for human experimentation, a charge Perot says he heard from a senior Vietnamese official in the 1980s. There's evidence. 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 Perot claims. McCain was adamant about shutting down anything to do with recovering POWs. Mm. And all I can tell you is from who's the Burns that did the documentary? Ed Burns?
No.
Ken Burns?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. Ed Burns is an actor.
Yeah.
Ken Burns did the Vietnam documentary. Yeah. It's amazing. If you haven't seen it, please, I really suggest you watch it. But it shows a young John McCain there, and that John was going to be rescued. And he says, I'm not going till every one of these POWs has left. So Perot is kind of doubting that story. And that he said that in Newsweek. And that's when McCain called him nuttier than a fruitcake.
The other story that I had always heard about him, and then until today, I never really checked up on to see how valid the story was that when they were talking about how wealthy he was as he was running for president, they said, I mean, the guy has to be wealthy. He owns the Magna Carta. And I would hear that, and I'd go, that's impossible. You can't buy the Magna Carta. So here's the truth on that story. In 1984, Perot bought a copy of the Magna Carta, which was actually a 1297 copy of the one that was signed in 1215 by King John at the behest of some very upset noblemen in defining the rights for citizens of the British Commonwealth countries for years to come. Perot, through his foundation, bought the document from a British family of gentry for $1.5 million. So what he owned was not the actual original Magna Carta, but one that was created a very short time later, you know, in the 1200s. But still, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he could own the original document, so.
And there was a King John before King John Williams? Because maybe King John Williams should stop using that then. Or pay royalties. Get it? That happened by accident.
You worked on that.
I didn't.
No?
And Cameron Boyce is the Disney
star.
Actor.
20 years old, right?
Yeah, and they, according to People, Cameron Boyce's autopsy is completed, but his official cause of death is still unknown. So that he was found unresponsive in his home on Saturday afternoon, pronounced dead on the scene after authorities were called.
Horrible.
It is horrible. A lot of actors were coming out and tweeting things as they normally do, which is nice to see.
I was not very familiar with his work. I had heard his name once or twice, but I don't know that I'd ever seen him in anything. But a very young guy, just 20.
He played Adam Sandler's son in Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2.
All right, that would explain. Adam Sandler had a long tweet about him that I didn't understand the connection, but now that makes sense.
Yes, and he was on the show, is it Jesse, that one of my sons watched a while ago, a Disney show. Mm. But still, just tragic news. So we're covering both of them. That's what we do.
Yeah. But wouldn't you agree with me with Ross Perot that it was a name of so much importance? Well,
he got 19% of the vote in a 92 presidential election, making him one of the strongest third-party candidates in American history. So he's important.
I don't remember until him, I don't remember a third-party candidate ever being allowed to be involved in the debate. I remember there being plenty of other third-party candidates, but I always thought that once it came down to the televised debates, whoever was in charge went, okay, we got to play this real. You got the Democrat, you got the Republican, let's go for it. He was the first one that was up there with him, and I think that brought some legitimacy to him that he may not have had. You know, because if you don't see that guy or woman up there during those debates, you just kind of discount them. But him being up there legitimized the whole thing, I think.
Yeah, because I remember like being intrigued by him.
Yeah, extremely intriguing.
And seeing that Steve Bertrand has wandered into the studio to probably fix our facts that weren't factual.
Well, John, Bill, there also was in 1980 when John Anderson, an Illinois congressman.
I was thinking John Anderson.
Was he in the debate, though? I don't remember him being.
And I don't remember the exact details. Maybe Eric could look it up. But he was in a debate with Reagan and Carter, and one of them then boycotted. And I think it was Reagan who said he wouldn't do it.
Well, so Reagan and John Anderson debated on September 21st, 1980, so who backed
out?
So then
Carter backed. Carter wouldn't do it.
Carter wouldn't do it.
I do remember. For some reason, John Anderson came into my head.
Yeah, he was a hero of mine. Like, you know.
Who was the lady in the 70s? Was it Shirley Chisholm that was the third-party candidate, and they just flat-out said, no, you're not going to be involved in the debates, no matter how.
She toyed with running in 72, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But as a Democrat.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I thought she was
third-party. But so Anderson did qualify for the debates in 1980.
He did,
and but Jimmy Carter skipped it. So.
Yeah, and Anderson ended up not doing well in the votes, though. I mean, the difference between he and Perot is Perot, he finished up doing fairly decent.
He didn't get 19%, but he might have been around 10 or 12%. But
was he that high?
I have to look that up. I don't really remember very well.
According to this website, 19% of the vote he got. But
really,
yes.
Yeah, but we're talking about John Anderson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
How much of the vote will Marianne Williamson get?
I don't think as much. I don't think as much. All right, we'll take a break. News is next, and then more show. Bill
it's
and Wendy.
It's Twoo. She's kind of like a combination Bernadette Peters, Roseanne Adana, and Barbara Walters.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bad combo.
Yeah, it's a strong combo. All right, more after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, here's a problem, Wendy, that we face from time to time. We only have 20 minutes left in the regular show. Yeah, we have the bonus hour, so a total of 80 minutes. I did the math on my own. And we in 80 minutes, we have easily 84 minutes of stuff to talk about. So I don't know how we're going to pull this off.
All right.
You saw the video of this family in Disneyland.
Oh, my God.
That just went ballistic on each other. You saw the video, right? Now, I have to say, with all due respect, the headline read, family goes crazy in Disneyland, and I said to myself, Wendy's family hasn't been to Disneyland yet. What's this? What's this
all
about?
Yeah, we're going in a few weeks, and listen, I have not had great times at Disney World.
I know.
Disneyland,
you're one for one.
Yes.
Disneyland.
Right. We had a great time, and it's a little... Listen, it just gets super overwhelming. I've brought this up before. I know it's supposed to be the happiest place on earth, but you even agreed with me. You see families fighting, not physically. But
usually not physically. In this case, as we will discuss, it got a little out of hand.
I almost threw up watching that. I can't watch cops. I can't watch people fight. I just can't do it.
What makes this so hard to digest... And you can easily find the video of this family fighting in Disneyland.
It's all over.
And I don't know if when they first showed this, if we knew this was a family, did we know that initially? Right? All right. So you get several members of the family punching, kicking, biting, screaming.
Pulling hair. Pushing them down to the ground. Somebody got off one of those scamps, those little scooters to get involved, and she went down.
Yes. But what makes it so surrealistic when you're watching the video is not only is it in Disneyland, but it's right in front of either Goofy or Mickey's house.
Goofy.
So the punching...
It's in Toontown.
It's in the Toontown portion of Disneyland, which is made to look, when you're there, it's made to look as though you're in a cartoon. So you're seeing this whimsical, happy-go-lucky setting and a family just wailing on each other with Mickey Mouse or Goofy's house. In the background, this is the weirdest thing in the world. Now, to your point, you're right. There's a lot of pressure when you're there.
Oh, my God. But honestly, it less so at Disneyland.
How come, do you think?
It's smaller. So,
it is smaller.
And I know there's that Country Adventure Land or whatever. It's right across the way. You can do both of them.
California Adventure.
Like I said, it was something with adventure in it.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot to do. Disney World is much more overwhelming because...
You're engulfed in it.
And
as far as the eye can...
Yes.
It's Disney and as far as the eye can see.
It's like, you know, you're on a desert island except with Mickey and Goofy.
Yes.
It's just everything's so spread out. There's no like quick getting to the park. There are so many parks. And, you know, the first time we went with my sister, she was right to say, okay, here's our schedule. We have to do this park this day, this park. And it's like, these are little kids. Where's the buffer day?
Right.
We don't have time.
There's no time for a buffer day.
Most people don't have time for a buffer day. Disneyland is, to me, more manageable.
I can see that.
But it's still...
It's more finite.
It's smaller. It's, you know, you can get... They have shuttles going from your hotel. You're there in 15 minutes. It's just really not as big. But
don't you think that for most families visiting the Disney properties, you've looked forward to this week or this couple of days for your whole life? It's very expensive. You know, you've got a lot of money on the line. So it's expectations and it's cash. And all of a sudden, things aren't going. It's hotter than you thought it would be.
Yeah.
The lines are longer than you thought they would be. There's a lot of things that didn't quite sync up the way you hoped. So you just start punching your brother. You can't help it.
But you do punch your brother, like, maybe when you're a little kid. But when you're an adult.
These are adults.
I can't even believe it. I was watching it almost thinking it was staged for a minute.
No.
Oh,
it's real.
It's horrible.
And how come, like, it took Disney security a while to get there?
That's my question.
I'm surprised it took so long.
I don't have an answer to that, but if that was somewhere in Chicago, police would be involved immediately.
Right.
There were other Disney goers that had to go in and break it up.
Right.
And then, I've been thinking a lot about it because we are going to Disneyland.
Why didn't Captain Hook pull a sword out and just hold the sword up to them saying, you want a piece of this? Why didn't that happen?
Here's my big dilemma. I'm really like sick to my stomach about this, watching these, even if they, I guess it's worse that they're family members, but anybody just hitting each other so terribly.
Horrible. Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, you know, had we been there, like if these people come back when we're there, I don't want Jimmy Mac to interfere. Like some of these people that were trying to break it
up. My money's on you, by the way.
Oh, I'm running away crying, thinking, you know what? My family doesn't look so bad.
Right. Bet you would thank them all.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Can I buy you an orange whip?
But I'm serious. Like, we've talked about this in the past where you're one to... I see you as someone trying to break it up.
I would try to break it up.
And then I see your wife, like, being so mad at you because what if you got hurt?
Right.
What if one of them pulled out a weapon and boom, you're gone?
I know.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be good Samaritans, but honestly, if this broke out, I honestly would say, Jim, stay out of it.
Right. Now, the way the story goes is they were then escorted off of Disney property, because I always thought they put you in that jail that you're at the end of Pirates of the Caribbean. I thought they'd just throw you in that jail until the day's over.
And then you become a display kind of.
Those look like people. Those aren't pirates. Oh. Those look like people from here.
It's terrible.
It is awful. And these people are just relentless. They just don't stop with their punching and their hair pulling. There's a guy punching a woman. You don't punch a woman. That doesn't happen.
I want to know if those two that were punching each other were a couple or siblings.
Oh,
I think I heard that it was his sister.
Oh.
And she spit in his face.
Right.
They showed that. You could see that.
It's just horrible, and I feel really bad. But now, were they charged with anything, or just... Because I thought that police were reevaluating it. All right,
you got to go to Disney court.
Who's the judge? Come on, you know Disney characters better than I do. Goofy.
Right.
That's the best Goofy I've ever done.
The defense rests, Your Honor.
And so do I. I'm tired.
I'm tired. Oh, boy.
So, allegedly, there was this amazing, I can't find it for the life of me, but there was an anchor in L.A. I only remember it because her name was Wendy something, and she had blonde hair, and she was on the camera, and she was so dramatic because she's like, a fight broke out at Disneyland at Toontown. Did you hear me? Toontown.
Oh,
she's really good.
She stressed the Toontown.
Yeah, and then she's talking about it, and she claimed that the family was escorted out, but this was before the video surfaced.
Right.
So now that the video surfaced...
What if the video has Pinocchio on it and he goes, I saw the whole thing, and then his nose just gets a little bit bigger. This guy started it, and his nose gets a little bit bigger.
The family was involved in the melee, was uncooperative with authorities. Really?
Yeah.
Did that surprise you? That's another thing. If these people are fighting each other, again, bystanders shouldn't get involved.
I know, because they'll punch anybody. It's their own family they're punching.
They were not punching the kids.
No. Well, it's a vacation. You got to take a vacation.
Yeah, it's too soon. there was no video available at the time, so police did not make any arrests.
Oh.
Video of the brawl has since surfaced on social media, and someone with the police department said, now that we have the video, detectives will be following up to see if any criminal charges can be filed.
Mm.
The video posted on YouTube on Sunday begins with an argument between a man and a woman pushing a stroller with two young girls in front of Goofy's Playhouse.
Yeah.
The man, who is wearing a red shirt, takes the first swing at the woman after she spits in his face.
Wow. Bad day in Toontown.
Another man steps in. Hack Toontown.
David Hocktoon?
Yes. Another man steps in and the two men start throwing punches at one another, the video shows. Children are heard crying in the background as the adults continue to scuffle. Over the course of nearly 5 minutes, several members of the family become involved in the fight. Mm. So how does that go on 5 minutes without security?
That's a long time.
I mean, I'll bet... I think some of the security people at Disneyland are probably like, I don't know, is this
right.
a summer job? Maybe they were scared to get involved.
Stay out of this.
This
people,
looked...
No, I know. It was all over the place.
A woman riding a motorized scooter, who was also part of the group, intervened to try to stop the scuffle, but she was knocked to the ground. Two people then helped her up as the fight between other members of the family continued. The man wearing the red shirt yells in the video, I'm ready to go to jail tonight.
Why would you yell that?
Less than a minute later, the man is seen in the video punching one of the women he thought hit his mother. So he's defending his mother.
Yeah, you got to defend your mom.
The woman is knocked to the ground. The man drags her by her hair. Did you see that part?
I did see that part.
Across the pavement in the video, several bystanders intervene to pull him off. Disneyland security arrives shortly after and breaks up the fight. The individuals involved in the scuffle were immediately removed from the park, said Liz Yeager, a spokeswoman for Disneyland Resort. Any type of violence is inexcusable and will not be tolerated.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Maybe they don't serve beer there anymore. Is this maybe why this happened?
This is part of the reason, yeah. All right, a quick break, and then there's more show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Something else. It's unfair to bring this up right now because we're almost out of time on the regular show, so we may cover this a little bit also on the bonus hour. But this is very disheartening to me, and I imagine it will be to you, too. The U.S. Women's World Cup soccer team did a great job. They won the championship the other day. Very exciting. What's not exciting is to find out that the U.S. Women's World Cup soccer team, the women's branch, earns 18 cents to the dollar that every men's member of the World's Cup soccer team makes. I don't understand that disparity whatsoever. Doesn't make sense to me. If I were one of the women, I would do my best to say, how can you look me in the eye and say, here's your money when the guys are making five times more? It's incredible.
Well, I don't like to hear that either. But is it because, is the women's league as popular as the men's?
It's hard to say. You know,
don't men tennis players get more or men golfers get more than women because there are more sponsors
sport.
And it's been yeah. around longer?
Yep.
But 18 cents to the dollar?
Yeah, it's a 5-to-1 ratio. In almost every sport, the men make more than women, and the justification is that it's an easier sport to market. You know, if you're an NBA player, the NBA is earning so much more than the WNBA. I've heard that they're subsidizing the WNBA, that they couldn't survive on their own without cash from the NBA. I understand that, but with something like this, I had no interest at all in watching the guys play soccer, but I went out of my way to make sure I watched the finals of the women playing. I don't know how they're justifying. I guess if you're them, you're so used to putting it out there this way. Remember that movie that was out about Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know the story, Billie Jean King, who was the number one tennis player.
It's not my lover.
It's not my lover. Just a girl who's... I'm not going to sing the whole song. But the movie is about how she just said, well, I'm going to start boycotting the events
yeah.
if you're not going to pay me anywhere near what the guys are being paid. And all the other women tennis players were following suit. But in your head, you go, yeah, but that was in the 1970s. It couldn't be that bad today. And then you hear this story about the women making, they'll make a maximum, this is an absolute maximum on the women's team, of $200,000. That's the absolute highest they can make, while the men are making $1,114,000. Like I said, more than a 5-to-1 ratio. It's so out of whack.
And what's the deal with the flag? The girls let the flag drop as they were going to celebrate, and
some people did not take well to that.
I don't like to see that, but I don't...
There's been so much controversy. The way that they have celebrated, we talked about the tea, the sipping of the tea. People found that to be offensive to the Brits. What are you doing? Don't mock us by drinking tea in front of us, pantomiming tea drinking. We won't stand for that. The other controversy is that most of the women on the team do not want to go to the White House should they be invited. As of this point, they've not been invited to the White House, but they say if we are invited, we don't want any part of it. So that's been a controversy.
I wouldn't go to the White House right now.
It's happened in other major sports where players have said, if my team makes it, I'm not going. And many who have followed suit when their team does win, not gone. But for some reason, this one, they're taking a little bit harder. I think it's because the team represented America as opposed to in the other sports, you're representing a city.
That's true.
So
all right, that's
a good
point. That
plays into it a little bit.
But, I mean, there are people who didn't approve of a president before and didn't want to participate, and
people boycotted under Barack Obama. There are people who won championships and did not visit the White House because he was the president.
So why weren't people complaining about that more? Was Twitter not as busy? What, I don't understand.
It happened to some extent, but it was a story that quickly went away. This story's been lingering for a couple of days now. Why haven't they been invited? If they are invited, who's going? Who's not going? So we don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
We all just have to take a big chill pill.
All right.
Not you and me, necessarily.
Oh, other people. All right.
I can't take it anymore.
It's a lot.
We're in a pressure cooker. We're in one of those Instapots.
Yes.
It's just going to be fried rice all over the place.
Fried rice everywhere, Wendy.
All right, you can join us on the stream. Can I give the phone number? I don't feel like we give this enough on 720 AM for you guys to reach us on the stream.
Mm-hmm.
So 312-981-7200. You can text us and call us during the regular part of the show. But if you want to get in on the stream, and please come join us, 312-235-2525. That's 312-235-2525. And coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung. He is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, 720 WGN.